stories, whether weather stories, tornado stories that you remember that were big at KAKC or that you may have covered?
Well, sure. At KAKC, one of the big stories was the annual flooding of the city of Tulsa, the Brookside area, because Keystone Dam hadn't been built. So we had to deal with that all the time. Our studios were in a building that no longer exists. It was the American Airlines building at 910 South Boston. It was at 9th and Boston, I guess. But we were on the top floor of a 10 or 11-story building. There was nothing but glass out on one side of it to the south, so we could essentially see Brookside just from looking out the window. And I'll go ahead and make this confession because I've made it publicly before, and I certainly couldn't deny it because it is true, that on more than one occasion, I would see a fixed-wing aircraft over a flood zone, you know, just doing big circles. It was obviously somebody looking at it. And I would go in and tell the disc jockey that it was time for a flood report. They would put me on, and I would never say that I was in an airplane, but they would put propeller noise under it. And I would describe how, you know, people on Brookside are still facing 3 feet of water that is coming into some of the homes, and it's reaching almost to Cincinnati Avenue. And if anybody would look up, they'd see an airplane, you know, at the same time that they were hearing propeller noise over my report. Probably the best decision I ever made at KAKC in the news department was to go off the air when Kennedy was shot. We were sitting there on that November afternoon, and it started coming across the wires. We had no network. We had absolutely no affiliation with a network. Never had had one in the history of the new rock and roll management they could have had years ago, I suppose, but certainly not then. When it became apparent what had happened, I just I went down to the general manager's office and told him what had happened. I think he probably knew. I said, "We can't do this. You've got to get a network, and I'm going to stand here until you get one." He got on the phone, and within 5 minutes, we had somebody, I don't know who it was, plugged into him, and we were off the air for like 4 days with our format.
Your station was on the air carrying the network.
The network, but yeah. You couldn't tell that it was KAKC. We didn't take station breaks, didn't do anything, just shut it off, pushed on the network plug, and let it go. How long did that last? I don't know. I don't remember what day of the week he was shot on, you know, but the funeral
Friday.
Was like 3 or 4 days later, and then Oswald got killed, and it was just a mess, you know. But I've always looked back on that in terms of my radio career as probably the best thing I ever did, which was give it up. Recognize that there's a story that you can't do unless you have a certain reach, and that for all we were, regardless of how successful we were, there are other things that matter more, and this is what you got
to
do.
But it played to your strength. News, you were news, and your audience expected news, and they still knew they were listening to KAKC.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I'm not saying that it was a bad decision. I'm just saying it was the only decision that we really could have made at that time.
You served your audience well.
Yeah.
You were 29 years old then.
Well, I was in the slow group.
Have any recollection of governors? I'll throw out some names. Howard Edmondson?
Only because he was so much fun. I never knew him personally at all, but boy, it was fun to be in the news business during Prohibition. And that's what J. Howard did. I mean, it was just glorious to see Southern Hills raided and to see the mechanics behind this business of we're going to get rid of this silly Prohibition law and get liquor sales in Oklahoma made legal, and here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to hire this guy. I think his name was Joe Cannon or something. He's going to be the enforcer. So he staged raids at all these private clubs where people had been drinking out of brown bags and on labeled bottles at the bar for, you know, 50 years or something. And he shut them down, just closed the door. Had the election, and we've got liquor by the drink instead of liquor by the wink. And Oklahoma finally joins the rest of the world in terms of trying to regulate and make some money out of something that people are already doing and are going to continue to do regardless of what kind of laws you have. And we're still on the wrong path. We haven't learned a damn thing from that as a country in how we deal with narcotics. We're just fighting prohibition all over again. The Al Capones have become the Mexican drug lords. And by any standard you want to use. You know, the war on drugs was a phrase that was first used by Richard Nixon, I think, in his first administration. We're going to have a war on drugs, and we're going to clean this stuff up. You're not going to have to worry about this anymore, and here's what we're going to do. Okay, since that time, with all of this money spent by any standard you want to consider, quality has never been higher. Availability has never been easier. Price has never been cheaper than what it is right now. We've got more of it, more readily available, at lower cost. I don't know whether more people are using or not, but until we can figure out, as a country, that the way to shut this down, or at least get a handle on it, is to take the money out of it. So you decriminalize it, and you tax it, but you make it available. And sure, you're going to get some people who are going to start on marijuana and they're going to end up on heroin. Well, guess what? We've got people today that are starting on marijuana and they're getting up to heroin. Except that they're not jacking cars. If you do it the right way, what they're doing is that they're getting some treatment if they can be identified, caught, talked into it, because they're sick and they're addicted. And you're not going to have people with AK-47s in your streets shooting each other for control of this business. Outside of the arms race, this is probably the dumbest, stupidest thing that this country has ever done. And it just can't figure out what the problem is. Well, the problem is the money.
We might point out,
other than that, I'll tell you what I really think about it if you want to talk some more.
That generations not even born will listen back, and this is the year 2010, and what Clayton has just described is an attitude out there, and he's described both what should be and what is going on right now. So that was a good perspective.